Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Trump wins. Again. But I'm still not tired of it. How about you? Remember, tongue-in-cheek, when he said we would get tired of winning? Are you tired yet? I'm not. Iran backs down. Soleimani, terrorist, monster. His killing opposed by the left, by the way, and mourned by white supremacists. Chris Matthews compares the death of Soleimani to deaths of Elvis and Diana in America. And it looks like he fails to see the irony of what he's saying. The Democrat Party, from profiles in courage to profiles in corruption. Profiles in corruption. A book to be released in January 21st, by the way, documents the abuse of power by progressive elites in America. Why is Nancy holding the articles of impeachment? And then there are some interesting developments in the polls I hope to examine with you today. Hey, what's with Buddhism being taught in some public schools? And what about the university professor who was fired for making a wisecrack inviting Iran to bomb cultural sites in America? Key cultural sites like Kardashian's mansion. Obviously, he was joking, but the joke was in poor taste. The War Powers Resolution supported by a key Trump supporter? Wow, what's that about? Of course, we need to keep our eyes on voter fraud. Ballot harvesting begins soon. And folks, I think Andy Caldwell will make a great congressman. Let's rally and send Andy to Washington. Well, let's see. And we got so many things here. My friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Trump wins again. Iran backs down. A member of our church, Air Force Lieutenant, approached me after Soleimani was taken out and Iran launched their multi-missile attack on two of our bases in Iraq. And he seemed concerned, understandably so, that we might be entering into a war with Iran. It was one of those days, you know, I had not heard of the attacks and was so busy and distracted by other things. But I said, more than likely, Iran will do a sort of face-saving show of force, but they'll make sure not to do anything serious enough to provoke America to launch all-out war on Iran. And that's SOP, you know, standard operating procedure for that culture and that region. However, war with Iran is almost as inevitable as death and taxes, at least so long as it's under the control of those crazy mullahs who believe they're destined to detonate the conflict that will bring in the 12th Imam and all that nonsense, the anti-Messiah, which is actually Antichrist, that is part of their eschatology, which is the doctrine of last things. But at some point, the Western powers are going to coalesce and they're going to decide we've had enough of this Islamist jihad nonsense. And these Western powers are going to mass their military resources and move through the Middle East like giant harvesters and masticators. You know, those huge tree clearing and forest mulching machines. But these countries are not done doing their vikar, D-H-I-K-R. It's, you know, the dance, right? They're not done doing death to America, death, right? They're not done with all that posturing stuff. I suppose it's a kind of Muslim haka, an Indian New Zealand war dance. It's the modern day version of the old field battles, you know, where two armies would position themselves opposite one another and each side would chide and tease and attempt to work up their own courage while they hoped to intimidate and weaken the other side. Only in this case, the jihadis really don't want an all-out war with America. They've got it going too good, man. That's a cash cow for those people, those rulers over there. They want to keep this thing going. They understand the difference between fantasy and reality. And they keep their people living in a fantasy while they deal with something a little more resembling reality. I've got a chart in my notes for those who download them. that shows the difference between America and Iranian forces, 13,398 planes as opposed to Iran's 509, 2,362 fighter jets as opposed to 142, 1,153 military transport planes as opposed to 89, 5,760 helicopters as opposed to 126, and then trainer aircraft, 2,853 opposed to 104. So anyway, I mean, we obviously outmatched them significantly, but you and I both know what a stone in the sling in the hand of a mighty warrior for God can do. So we don't boast in our military might. We boast, however, in the providence and protection of God. And that's what we have going for us, at least so far as we remain under him. So anyway, Iran would rather attack America through proxies, where they can attack from behind the skirts of women and children, and then, hide behind plausible deniability and other ruses intended to trick their prey into their traps. They want to tear at the fringes, attack the weak spots where they can exploit them, but they keep a wary eye on it all, and they never want to go too far, Anyway, I know many were concerned about Iran's retaliation, but it played out pretty much the way I anticipated. They struck at two air bases with their missiles, allowing U.S. to have plenty of advance warning of the attack. No American lives were lost. They have figured out that is Trump's red line. And they have also figured out that Trump's red lines are, well, they're not like Obama's red line. Obama's lines were a kind of light pink, But Trump's lines are a thick and red. So what is Trump going to do about Iran's misfired attack on our U.S. bases in Iraq? Well, he's going to up the sanctions. That's perfect. It's balanced. It's measured response. And he's made that statement before. He believes in measured response. And that's what he does. No American lives were lost, but Iran's going to have to be punished for their bad behavior. So Trump increases sanctions. And the message is clear. Don't kill Americans. Who was this guy, Soleimani, after all? In recent years, and that is since Obama blocked Israel from taking him out in 2015, Soleimani has become a celebrity among West-hating Muslim Iranians, and that is to differentiate the Iranians, who are the Persians in the main, in Iran, who don't have that crazy sentiment. Iran has depended on, it's a religious thing, my friend. The bottom line, this is a conflict that's coming out of a religious ideology. Iran has depended on Qasem Soleimani to expand their influence across the Middle East through developing the Islamic Republic's network of proxies, killing Americans in Iraq, in Lebanon, in Syria, in Yemen, and Afghanistan, all while Obama basically looked the other way. What Trump's strike on Iran's top general means is that America is serious about addressing terrorists and terrorist nations like Iran. And what Iran's response means is they got the message. I mean, it's not unlike when Reagan bombed the home of Gaddafi. The Ayatollah in Iran had to rattle his saber in the air. He had to stir up the crazies to go, all that business, death to America, and so on. And because this was a huge blow against their pride and their arrogant presumption that they can go about terrorizing at will with impunity. So he had to do a little more than just rattle his sword and do the dribble. He ordered a surgical attack that would maximize show but minimize blowback. All who have sense must appreciate how brilliantly our president is handling this thread-the-needle diplomacy. We know Iran was threatening to attack American interests in Iraq. The recent move on the embassy, by the way, it is believed, was prelude to what was intended to be a launching of several of these simultaneous attacks all over. They wanted to see what America would do, how we would respond. And of course, they want to do it through proxies so they can hide behind, deniability. So to make it appear the people in the region generally want America out of the Middle East in order to leave them alone to pursue their agenda, which is ultimately to drive Israel off into the Med. They tested American resolve in that uprising and found it was solid. So they were meeting to discuss ruses, a hunting term, by the way, used for setting up deceitful traps to lure and capture a prey. Anyway, Iran launches this showy response, pictures of multiple missiles launched, and rah-rah, that amounted to nothing, you know, much ado about nothing. A little bit of property damage and no American lives lost. In fact, there were no casualties at all in their attack. So, however, in a culture where noise and show take the place of results, sounds like the Democrat Party, doesn't it? The more you look at it, the more the Democrat Party today looks like these tin-horned dictatorships in the Middle East. This was enough for Khamenei to maintain his posture before the Muslims that he leads. Now, here's something closer to Iran's style. And really, we should differentiate between the Iranian people from the crazy Ayatollah devotees. But I understand they put out a bounty on our president of $80 million, and that one of our comedians here has boasted that he would be willing to take care of it for $40 million. And I trust the Secret Service are watching him very closely. Because I am concerned about that. These people today are so out of their ever-loving minds, it would not surprise me if one or some other of them put together some kind of an attempt on President Trump's life. But Iran has proxies in our government, and they are busy. You do know that Obama was a great defender of Iran, right? I mean, the truth is, and I remember this, but no one I talk to seems to remember this. But I remember back when Democrat Obama was running for an Illinois Senate seat against a great Republican, Alan Keyes. It's too bad he didn't win that seat. Because Soros, basically, poured millions into Obama's campaign, by the way, allowing Obama to spend $14.2 million in his campaign against Keyes' paltry $2.5 million. But anyway, I remember Obama making a statement to the effect that he did not understand why Iran should not have the right to have nuclear weapons if Israel could have them. Yeah. Somebody's knocking your head out there. You do remember that. It stirred up enough controversy that Obama began walking it back and qualified himself to mean for energy purposes only, you know. But the fact is, Obama has always felt that if Israel, whom he despised, by the way, could have nuclear weapons, well, his Muslim brothers should have them too. Remember, it was Obama who airlifted $1.5 billion in cash to Iran. You know, cash used to buy missiles. The missiles, by the way, that Iran launched on our bases recently. It was Obama who tangled the U.S. into a treaty with Iran that virtually paved the way forward for them to surreptitiously move toward getting nuclear weapons. Obama loved the Muslim Brotherhood. Everybody knows that. And you could always hear the kiss in his voice when he spoke about the Muslims. Remember that? And the Democrat Party has always positioned itself on the side of terrorists, you know, in very uncomfortable alliance there. So here we have Soleimani, a terrorist monster, targeted by the U.S. as a terrorist. And Obama intervened to stop Israel from taking him out in 2015. Did you know that? But Trump gets word now. We have a new sheriff in town. And Trump gets word that this target is accessible. And he takes the initiative. He approves the mission. And Soleimani is taken out. And the left are all up in arms. Oh, they're all stirred up about this. You know, really, the left and the white supremacists have a lot in common in their history and in their sentiments. And it's a show I'll develop later. You know, white supremacists mourn the killing of the Jumerica-hating fellow warrior, Soleimani. Yeah. And Chris Matthews compares the death of Soleimani in Iran to the deaths of Elvis Presley and Princess Diana in America. Old Tingle Legs Matthew, remember him? His legs went all tingly when Obama spoke. He understands why the Iranians would mourn the passing of their great Jew and American murdering hero because, well, according to Matthews, it's like how Americans reacted to the passing of Elvis Presley and Princess Diana. Really? Soleimani, a terrorist, a murderer, an avowed enemy of America, a hater of freedom and liberty for all, a torturing, murdering monster of evil, is compared to Elvis Pelvis, as my dad called him, and paparazzi-fixated Princess Diana. Now, you've got to be kidding me. That's the left for you, though. Unbelievable. If that is not a contrast in cultural values, I don't know what is. Neither of them are compliments to their respective cultures, by the way. Okay, I get that. Crying over the death of an entertainer that the people have become familiar with and that they love them and so on. Well, you're right. How can that be compared to crying over the death of a murderer? My friend, that's just perverse. It's almost as perverse as the Democrats' reaction to the killing of this terrorist, as we have come to expect virtually every action of the left. With regard to dealing with terrorists, it seems in the end to aid and abet the enemy. Pelosi and company want to take power now away from the president, hampering him, hamstringing him against dealing with terrorist threats. Okay, my friends, hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
The battle for America is on. Jesus sent his spirit into the world, and the Bible says, where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Satan is the spirit of Antichrist, the end-time tyrant that will rule the world with death. America is divided between those who follow the spirit of liberty and those who follow the spirit of tyranny. The spirit of Jesus Christ or the spirit of Antichrist? Which will it be? Election 2020 will decide whether America continues as one nation under God or falls fully into the power of the spirit of tyranny. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. I just picked up this. The Russians just aggressively approached one of our destroyers, the USS Farragut. Our destroyer was conducting routine operations in the North Arabian Sea, and the Russian ship was on a collision course with our destroyer. The Farragut signaled five short blasts, which is what you're supposed to do. It's an airtime signal for danger of a collision. And the Farragut requested the Russian ship alter course, which is according to maritime law, the international rules of sea, you know. And the Russian ship initially refused to alter course. I'm not sure what shape that refusal was presented. Anyway, it finally did yield, but the Fifth Fleet statement complained that, quote, while the Russian ship took action, the initial delay in complying with international rules while it was making an aggressive approach increased the risk of collision, end quote. Now, why the Russian ship delayed making the usual maneuver is not clear. Many things could account for it. But the recent sparring between the United States and Iran, and with in view the historical and prophetic connections between Iran and Russia, well, it might well have been a reminder to America that Russia stands behind and alongside Iran. You know, you got to deal with us too type thing. And they are connected both historically and prophetically. Moscow and Tehran are united. But what this means is Iran and Russia were both set on notice with Trump's action against Soleimani. Now, here are only some of the known reactions to Soleimani's takedown in Iraq, beyond what you read about in the news. And this I picked up from the Debka file. Quote, Iran's threats of revenge for Qasem Soleimani, his death, were coupled on Sunday, January 5, with practical preparations for action. Debka file's exclusive sources report that most of the Iraqi Shiite militia leaders and their senior staff were transferred to Iran, after which Iran's Revolutionary Guards Corps, the IRGC, took four more steps. One, the pro-Iran Iraqi Shiite militias shuttered their command posts, closed them, and bases in the main cities, and the fighters melted into the local populations with their weapons. So, you know, there they went hiding behind the skirts and knickers. A second group of militia chiefs were redeployed in Syria and in areas under Assad government control. And then three, their command centers and bases in Syria were dispersed and hooked up with their chiefs. And then finally, the Lebanese Hezbollah began closing the Bekaa Valley bases of its terrorist arm, which supplies Iran with terrorist and sabotage networks in all the Gulf Emirates, as well as Northeast and West Africa. So, kind of scattered those cockroaches, yeah. Or in other words, they were all shook up. Ha ha. Maybe there is more to the comparison of Soleimani's death, Mr. Matthews, and that of Elvis, after all. All right, there's a lot to pray about here, my friends. You know, Trump must go down in history as the most extraordinary president ever. I don't think even George Washington had as much to deal with. By the way, some of you might not know that he led our army at a time when the nation was almost evenly divided for and against the Revolutionary War he was conducting. And he had to fight with Congress to get proper provision to supply his army. And his tactics, which later proved to have been brilliant, were being second-guessed by ignoramuses and sometimes even his friends. But Washington at least enjoyed the general esteem of his countrymen. Trump is handling all of this remarkably well. His rally in Toledo was amazing. Truly, He has been strengthened by all that has come upon him. The Democrats are going bonkers. Now God has positioned the God-hating America as founded despising Democrats in such a way that they're being totally exposed. You know, that's what the Bible says the Spirit of Christ is here to do, to reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The word reprove means to expose, to put on display, and to convict for the wrongdoing. Since we began praying earnestly back in 2008, 2009, so much has happened in this way. So much light has been thrown onto the dark deeds of the spirit of Antichrist in both parties, but especially in the Democrat Party, where so many of those devils have holed up in droves. The light is scattering them like cockroaches under fluorescence. The descent of the Democrat Party can be traced from Profiles in Courage to Profiles in Corruption. Do you remember Profiles in Courage? It was a biography of John F. Kennedy in his time in the military, in the Navy, that endeared him to American hearts back in the mid-50s. And that was in the lead-up to his bid for president. It was part of the propaganda used to push him forward. Now, fast forward to 2020 and another title, Profiles in Corruption, Abuse of Power by America's Progressive Elite. The author is Government Accountability Institute president and Breitbart News senior contributor Peter Schweitzer. And this is the author, by the way, of Clinton Cash, another bestseller. His newest book, Profiles in Corruption, is already at number 3 on the bestseller list, and it will not be released until January 21st. In this book, Schweitzer documents the politics of corruption in the Democrat Party. Now, you got to get this book and get educated about it and about this matter, and then begin sharing that information with your liberal or fence-sitting friends. Why is Nancy holding the articles of impeachment? I wonder if she is simply hanging on for the sake of maintaining some control in the whole thing. Now, Rush thinks she's doing it for attention. Might be. Now, we know she did not want to do the impeachment thing in the first place. Her party has pretty well hijacked her or shanghaied her into all this. The squad has dragged her into it. Now, maybe she thinks a Senate trial nearer the election would benefit Dems better, but I think it'll backfire. Her own party, however, is beginning to call on her to send the articles to the Senate. I mean, if we were all urgent about this, it was such urgency. Remember, over and over and over, how urgent, how important, how urgent. Now, all of a sudden, she stalls the whole thing. It sure belies the whole business about how urgent it was. You can be sure it's all about November 2020. The battle for America is on. If Democrats keep control of the House and gain control of the Senate, and especially if they gain control of the White House, my friend, this nation will move out from under God. And I will guarantee you, judgment will follow. For every nation that forgets God is turned into hell. That's a promise from heaven. We must pull back against this crowd that has been trying for decades now, really, to pull America out from under God. Speak up. Get your children under teaching that will help them learn the truth about our founding. Learn about spiritual warfare and engage those principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, the spiritual wickedness in high places that the Bible talks about, that we wrestle. Learn the relationship between the spiritual and the physical. Understand how to use your influence, Christian, as a king and a priest unto God, to beat back the devils that hold strongholds in education, politics, and science in this country. Learn how to break the power of darkness over the minds of God's people. So many of them are deluded and deceived in this matter. To unleash the convicting influence of the Spirit of God, whom Jesus said would move through our bellies like rivers of living water, reproving the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Learn the power of surrender to God and the incredible power that will give you over the power of darkness against Satan himself, who will be forced to flee from before you. He'll be forced to stand down, to let go of his influence over vast swaths of territory in our country. Get God's War. It's my newest book. Get it today. What happens in the spiritual has major repercussions and manifestations in the physical. If we're going to take America back under God, we need to understand how to effectively wrestle against the principalities, the powers, and so on, as the Bible says. I've told you about how our church, Lighthouse Baptist Church, began exercising ourselves in prayer and fasting and engaging in spiritual warfare back under Obama, and how soon after we began seeing signs that God was beginning to turn this nation back from hell's power. You know, there's that prayer, turn us, O God. Abortion is now fully exposed as nothing but the brutal murdering of babies for money. The LGBTQ agenda is now open. That movement is literally calling for the criminalization of Christianity. So now that America is confronted with the truth about abortion and the LGBTQ agenda, well, she can see more clearly what is at stake when she votes. The Democrat Party has come out into the open with their Antichrist bias, with leaders openly mocking Christianity. Schumer recently calling belief in the Bible belief in fairy tales, and Ocasio-Cortez demeaning Christians as being superstitious. And this is laughable, of course, coming from Schumer, who believes in the fairy tale of evolution and the fairy tale of climate change, and AOC, who believes in the fairy tale of socialism. But that's another thing, by the way. There's no longer any pretension on the part of the left. They're socialists. Someone said the difference between socialism and communism is communism takes away your liberty by pointing a gun at your head, and socialism does it through the vote. But what it amounts to is one is an act of murder and the other is an act of suicide. But what I find interesting is that we prayed specifically that God would allow Americans to know the truth about all of this. We didn't pray God would change anybody's mind. We believe in free will, but we wanted God to break the power of delusion, the lies, the shroud of darkness, to break that, blow it away, and so people could see clearly what it is they're dealing with here. And it seemed Americans were generally under a kind of, I don't know, spell or something, and they simply couldn't see the truth about what had developed in the Democrat Party. But now, it's all in the open, my friend. It's clear. One side wants an America that is out from under God. There it is, plain and simple. The other side wants to keep America one nation under God. And my friends, that's what it's come down to. Well, we are far from any victory dance, but we are seeing some encouraging signs of movement. And here's some interesting developments in the polls I want to discuss with you as I close. From a recent Gallup poll, only 24% of Americans will identify as liberal today. The rest are in what is called the center-right camp. Conservatives are at 37%, moderates at 34%, and liberals at 24%. And the trend is in the direction of conservatism. The gap between conservatives and liberals is widening. More Republicans are calling themselves conservative today, while fewer Democrats are willing to identify as liberal. As far as party membership, the Democrats continue to be the larger party. In 1994, the Democrat Party held about 25% of the voters, but that has more than doubled to 51% in 2018. This is interesting, isn't it? It's one of the reasons the Democrats were so certain they could win in 2016. Democrat Party membership has, however, slipped to under 50% in 2019. Both Democrats and Republicans are viewing the independents as middle ground, and so the middle ground is swelling, getting a little bit of a bump there, but not a whole lot. All of this is interesting because it's telling us that the Democrats are pulling back from the liberal ideology of the party leaders. More and more Democrats are concluding that the party is leaving them or has left them. I was asked if I thought Andy could win in California. I think the party of Pelosi, Schiff, and the ruin that Gavin is making out of our state, I think their days are measured. I think their days are numbered. I think God, as it were, has measured them, weighed them in the balances, and they're found wanting. This is a very favorable time for someone like Caldwell to get in. I think Andy Caldwell is a fine Christian man. I think he'll make a great congressman. Let's rally and send Andy to Washington. I've lit the lamps at Church Bellevue Arch. Now you let me know, see if they're on. Call me at 1-805-314-2114 and leave a message for me in our listener response hotline, or go to our website, brainmassage.net, find the contact us button and send me an email. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
The battle for America is on. Jesus sent his spirit into the world. And the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Satan is the spirit of Antichrist, the end-time tyrant that will rule the world with death. America is divided between those who follow the spirit of liberty and those who follow the spirit of tyranny. Which will it be? Election 2020 will decide whether America continues as one nation under God